All right. Next up, ladies and gentlemen, we have a presentation called We Are First Class Citizens Who Just Happen to Travel with Dogs. And to bring us this, we are going to have a Zoom presentation from our National Association of Guide Dog Users President, Raul Gallegos.
Hi there, everybody. This is Raul. If we could do a quick sound check, make sure I'm coming through okay.
Can we turn him up a little? Another one. Give us another right. Sound check.
All right. Check 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
It's a little better. If we can get a little more, great. If not, we'll take it. We'll just be
all
quiet.
Right. Well, I will try to enunciate and project and all that good stuff that you learned in Toastmasters. So thank you for having me on. And let me say that for those of you who don't know, Colorado is my first home, Denver specifically. And I always love coming back to Colorado. I wish I could have done it for this one around, because I love having any excuse to always come back to my first home. That being said, thank you to Zoom for making the technology possible. And then thank you for all the human beings for putting this together, starting with Kevin, and then of course, Paul Sandoval and everybody on the tech team. Anyway, so I'm Raul Gallegos, President of the National Association of Guide Dog Users. And I wanna talk to you a little bit about traveling. So we are all traveling a lot more nowadays. Some of us took a hiatus for a couple of years. And during that time, you would think that traveling with your guide dog, issues that happen while traveling with your guide dog would have improved. But fortunately, those issues waited for us to start traveling again. So I'm gonna talk about two things. First is the issue with ride shares. Second is flying. So first off, let's talk about ride share companies. The two most common popular companies are of course Uber and Lyft. And many guide dog users are no strangers to experiencing denials by drivers who don't know the law and who, through ignorance or lack of understanding or a lack of willingness to learn, will try to use excuses like allergies or fear or religion, or they just don't want any foreign bodies touching the leather of their cars. And then, you know, they leave a person stranded. So to kind of paint a picture of how this affects us as guide dog users is we might be in a situation where we need to pick up our kids from daycare, or we might be in a situation where we might need to go to the airport so that we can go on a trip, whether it's to see family or on vacation. Or we might need to go to a doctor's appointment, an appointment that maybe took 3 months to schedule. And if we're late, we will either miss the appointment and or we might have to pay a penalty because we weren't there on time. So there's a lot of things that can happen as a result of having these denials happen. You order your car, driver with your guide dog, and they drive away. Or you decide to self-identify and you order the car and you let the driver know through the chat that, you know, I'm the blind person that will be standing blah, 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 and I have my guide dog with me, and all of a sudden your ride is canceled. I could go on with what happens. So in the past, there has been, you know, both by the National Federation of the Blind, but also by individuals and other areas, you know, there have been lawsuits, there's been, you know, litigations, there's been, you know, all kinds of, you know, methods to try to get Uber and Lyft to take better attention and to, you know, try to teach them to teach their drivers that this is not cool, and ignorance is no excuse, and all those other things. Last year, the National Association of Guide Dog Users, and I'd like to mention Paul Sandoval specifically, co-wrote two resolutions for our organization, and one was specifically for Uber and another one was for Lyft to do something about this. So as a result of these resolutions, we have begun some new conversations, with Uber and with Lyft. And what was interesting about the one with Uber is when this started, the representatives from Uber had a copy of the resolution and they went through with our team line by line on the things we were asking for. Some of them, they outright said, no, they can't do it. Others, they said, you know, this makes sense. You know, why didn't we think of this before? Why weren't we doing this? So let me say that, you know, meetings are nice when a company agrees to have a meeting with you. And meetings, if you see results based on those meetings, then you feel that, you know, these meetings have been productive and you're going somewhere. Where it gets frustrating is when you have a meeting that meeting after meeting and you don't see the results. So in a lot of cases, you have to, you know, ask yourself, you know, where do I draw the line? Where do we keep on having meetings versus, you know, we take other steps. So what I would like to say is that in terms of the meetings that we've had with Uber and with Lyft, so far the ones with Uber have been a little more productive, and not trying to make excuses for Lyft in any way, but Lyft is going through some changes right now and a lot of their folks were laid off. And that included some of the people that we were trying to have contacts with in the accessibility areas. And so, you know, right now things are not the best in terms of communication with Lyft. So we are working on that. So I want to talk to you about Uber. So with Uber, some of the things that we're talking about is, you know, they have acknowledged that, you know, people who are traveling with guide dogs or service animals in general, our service dogs in general, do have the right to have the dog, you know, with them. And so what they're trying to do is institute programs so that the drivers will have, you know, it'll be more obvious, you know, in their app, not just a pop-up that you don't even read and just dismiss, you know, to say, you know, that if you are traveling with, or if you are picking up a person with a guide dog, you know, you are obligated to take that person. So what they're trying to do is do some tests. You know, these companies, they do test trials in different cities. They're doing some tests to bring up that awareness and to also make it a better experience for people who do still experience denials so that they can track those and so that they can handle them accordingly. One of the things that we are trying to show Uber or suggest to Uber as a possible option is a method of if a person chooses to self-identify as a person with a guide dog, this is very similar to some of the features that Uber right now has, where if somebody chooses to let Uber know that they are a person with a disability, then Uber will waive the wait charges. You know, so, you know, Uber starts charging a person extra money if the driver has to wait longer than 2 minutes for you to get to the car. So if you can't find the car, or if you have a physical disability that prevents you from quickly getting to the car, et cetera, you know, they've made some provisions so that those are waived if you let them know that you have a disability. So one of the things that we're trying to do is if a person who is blind and traveling with a guide dog chooses to self-identify, it would be in the method of essentially answering the two questions allowed by the Americans with Disability Act to say that, you know, my dog is trained and he is trained to assist me because of my blindness. And if that happens, if you choose that, then the option will be that if a driver denies that ride with a person who has chosen to self-identify, the process for reporting that driver and going through the system is largely automated. And so the driver gets reported by the system, and the system then generates the report, calls you a new driver, and, you know, handles it in the background. That's not in place. Okay. So let me be clear that that's not in place. This is one of the things that we are talking with them about to see if that is going to be something that works. The other thing that we are trying to do is we're trying to get Uber to agree to let us know what the outcome is of a denial. So if you get denied and you report it to Uber, you go through the process right now. And for the longest time, you basically get this generic message. Thank you for letting us know. We're sorry. And you don't really get to know what the outcome is. They are being a little difficult on agreeing to let us know. One thing I can say for Lyft is that Lyft at least lets you know what the outcome was of a denial report. Both Lyft and Uber have rideshare denial reporting lines, hotlines in place. The one for Uber, when I last checked, was still not working because it was getting routed to the wrong phone tree, the wrong customer service department. And so if they fix that by now, you know, I'd please ask, you know, let me know on that. But last time I checked it, it was still not working correctly. So, you know, right now, this is where we're at. We realize that the situation is very, very frustrating. If you've read the Monitor, if you've listened to the presidential releases, you'll know that, you know, the issues are still pretty much there. People are still getting denied. So, you know, we are taking steps to try to make this less of a hassle. And ultimately, we want those denials to go away. They should not happen. As of right now, if you experience a denial, specifically on Uber, we have developed an email address that this email address is not to report the denial. You still report the denial and do what you normally do. But this email address I'm going to share with you so that you can report the experience about the denial. So, you know, I experienced a denial on Uber. I report it. You know, they either respond or don't respond. I, you know, got a new car. Was I late, et cetera. What we would like you to do is share that experience with us through this email. It's going to get copied over to some folks with Uber, but also with Albert Elia, who is on the board of directors for NAGDU, and he is a lawyer. He is the person who is heading these meetings, you know, that I'm talking about. And that way we have this information to collect. The email address is uber-feedback@nagdu.org. So once again, that's uber-feedback@nagdu.org. And we also encourage you to keep filling out the rideshare form that's available at nfb.org/rideshare with the denials. Currently, the information that is specifically you know, we encourage, you know, the denials to be filled, you know, information to be filled out in general, but currently the information that we're looking for is especially if you experience a denial and you don't have an Uber account. So for example, let's say that I didn't order the car, but I have a guide dog and I don't have an Uber account. Maybe the friend that I'm traveling with has an Uber account. So this is on their account and I'm traveling with them. And we experienced a denial because of my guide dog. So, you know, I was technically denied service, even though I am not the one who ordered the car. So we're also looking for those types of situations, specifically if they happen, you know, please mention that in the notes. Also, before I go on with airlines, if, you know, because I know the way agendas run, if I could have a time check in terms of, you know, how much time I have.
10 minutes.
10. Thank you. Thank you, sir. All right. Let's talk about flying. So in January of 2021, the new regulations started, the new Air Carrier Access Act regulations started from the Department of Transportation. And it's a nice 40 or so page document that goes into all the specifics. The the two areas that affect guide dog users the most are the optional forms that you may have to fill out with some airlines and the process of how that happens, and space, the space that your dog takes when you are on inside the airplane. So let me talk about the forms. According to the Department of Transportation, the original form that they themselves created is accessible. And I do say that with air quotes when I say accessible. It is accessible if you have the latest and greatest version of popular screen readers, if you're using the Windows operating system, if you have the Adobe Reader correctly installed and configured, and if you have enough technical skills to make sure all of that happens. And then and only then, the form is accessible in the sense that if you know the order of the edit fields, because they don't always read correctly or in the right order. So you might be filling in your dog's name in the date field. If you have a different operating system, or if you don't have a computer and all you have is a smartphone, if you don't have a printer, if you don't have a smartphone at all and only use a regular phone and you don't have access to a printer, then you are kind of out of luck. Some airlines will require you to fill out this form, others won't. Some airlines, if you don't fill out this form and you approach the ticket counter or the gate, very few of them will help you fill it out on site. And some will only help you fill it out if your flight was booked in less than 48 hours before you travel, like maybe an emergency or something. So as you can see, it's kind of all over the place. It's inconsistent, and it doesn't cover the broad range of people who are flying. I work with folks who, you know, in my regular job, who don't have the prerequisite skills to fill out a form on their own, or maybe who don't have access to a printer or don't have a smartphone. So what do we, you know, what do we do about this? So some airlines have tried to make it a little easier. I believe, American, for example, they have a system in place where you fill out the form and you upload it to their system and they keep it on file for, I believe, a year, and they issue you like a traveler number. They give it a fancy name. They issue you a number that basically says you're good to travel with your guide dog for, you know, this length of period or whatever. So now when you fly for the next 12 months with them, you don't have to fill out the form for each flight. A couple of other airlines have done, you know, something similar. Southwest, whether it's because they're kind or whether because their computer systems are kind of antiquated, if anybody remembers all those lost flights from a couple of months ago, they don't have a system where they take the forms. And so very often, if you fly with them, you can just take your form in paper form and they'll process it, you know, there, whether you've booked it, your flight 48 hours in advance or not. Other airlines have a system where you email them the form, and other airlines have the system where the form itself is embedded into their webpage. So again, even that part is very inconsistent. What we're trying to do is we're having meetings with the Department of Transportation to find a way to make these forms go away for us. We want to try and approach, try to approach an avenue where if you're a blind person who's traveling with a guide dog and your disability is apparent, and it's apparent that that's what's happening, then that basically makes it so we don't have to fill out the form. There's a lot of details, a lot of intricacies that I don't have full access to or know-how in the sense of, because I'm not a lawyer, but you know, it's easy for me to say, this is what we want, this is what our membership wants, but we do have to coordinate that with our governmental affairs folks and our legal team to make sure that what we want, and if we go that avenue, is going to be the right way in terms of the big picture. So, you know, right now that's where we're at. We're working with other disability groups that this also affects, who also travel with service dogs. And, you know, I don't have anything further to report with that other than we are sitting at the table and having these conversations. The other part of the flying regulations in the ACAA has to do with space. You know, so currently right now, if it is determined by the airline, and it doesn't really specify who or what kind of experience they have, but if it is determined that the space that you occupy with your dog is encroaching on somebody else's space, they can put you off the plane. So, I'm thinking about the times that I fly with my dog. I wear a size 12 shoe, and sometimes my dog's ear or his paw or his, you know, the end of his tail kind of goes into the space of the other seat next to me. So would that count as encroaching on a person's foot space? And could the airline kick me off the plane? It is very possible. If that person felt that their space was being invaded and there's no other seats available, that could happen. And that's not good, because again, who's determining this, whether your dog really fits on there or not? It's happened very often that I will step onto an airplane and go back to the fifth or sixth row because I don't want to sit at bulkhead. And the flight attendant is insisting that everyone with service dog needs to sit at the bulkhead because it's better and there's more space. And, you know, when I politely decline and tell them that I will be fine sitting over here or wherever my assigned seat was that's not bulkhead, they just have no clue that you can actually fit your dog there. So if these people are the ones who are determining that your dog is taking up space somewhere else and they're the ones who can put you off the plane, then that's not good for us either. So we definitely have a lot of work to do. And, that's where we're at. And if there's time for questions, and if I'm able to answer them, I will be happy to.
Why don't we take two?
We'll take two questions that I will translate or repeat so that they go out to the Zoom, if anyone. Okay.
Regarding disabilities, that we were supposed to write to our representatives. All it did was say that the state was going to raise fees.
Okay, I don't know if you did. Were you able to hear that on the Zoom?
Not fully. If you could repeat that. Okay. Please.
Carolyn says, are you aware of the email that came out from Uber stating that prices were going to go up because of needing to train their drivers about people with disabilities, and that we were to contact state representatives and such?
I am not aware about the email. If there's a copy that I could look at, please send it over.
How many in this room got that email?
Oh yeah. I think it's a Colorado thing and basically they're claiming it's a new law that's coming in or that's being discussed. That means that the prices will go up on Uber, and they're blaming it on the fact of people with disabilities.
Okay. Yeah, please send me a copy of that email. And, we'll have Al Elia look at it. And, and our folks in Baltimore, take a look and see.
Board@nagd.org so we can all see it.
Please, yep. Anyone who has it, please forward it to board@nagdu.org so that all of the board members will have access to it.
Thank you.
Does anyone have another question? One more. Sarah Lee, what's your question, Sarah Lee? You absolutely, absolutely. Her question is that sometimes she's getting discriminated against by Uber drivers who think she has a guide dog. She doesn't even have one, but they're canceling on her anyway.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah,
I would wonder how they know that. Have you self-declared that you're blind to Uber? She's self-declared that she's blind, so they're assuming that everybody who's blind has a guide dog. Fun times. Yes, definitely, please, please, when you're getting turned down just because of your disability, please submit to that email.
Now,
Raul, give that email out again, the Uber comments.
All right, so after you reported denial and you have experience to report, please send your experience comments to Uber, hold on a sec, Uber-feedback, sorry about that, Uber-feedback at nagdu.org.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Raul. We appreciate the update.
Thank you guys for having me on.
Stay around because Kevin has comments and then I will be talking about lunch and drawing one more bottle of wine door prize.
Okay. Okay. So I'm 21. Hang on, Raul. Are you still with us?
I'm here. And okay, I'm 21 and older.
I appreciate you. I know you have other stuff you need to do today. So we definitely appreciate you. I know that it's not a great day for you and your family. So I know you have a funeral service to go to and we send our love, my brother.
Appreciate you.
Absolutely appreciate you. I have a couple of comments. One, we are finding now that blind people, even with long white canes, are being turned down by drivers. I would never self-identify as a blind person unless I really needed some extra kind of thing. I don't know why a driver would need to know that I was a blind person. I can't, but some people might for their own reason. I'm not condemning or calling you. I'm saying this is what I would do. The next point I want to make is, I think that as guide dog users in the organization that I love so much, that I've been a part of for 40 years, have served in many national and state offices, I think we need to tell Office of the President and our governmental affairs team that we need to be doing more with both of these issues. I don't think we're doing enough. That's my opinion. I'm sticking to it. The president knows that I don't think we're doing enough. Now, what should we be doing? I don't know, but I don't think we're doing enough. And so I urge us to think about what we ought to be doing. Help Paul over here and our president, Raul, to see how we can do more. In my view, we need to be picketing the Department of Transportation. In my view, we need to be going to our members of our General Assembly and say, get off our back. We have a right to use our canes and our guide dogs. And let's quit this monkey shine that's been dealing. We've been dealing with it for 5 or 6 years. I'm tired of it. I don't know about you. I hear people in this Denver metro area who aren't taking their dogs to work anymore because they're concerned that by the time they get a ride, they'll be 2 hours late. We got to stop this. I also call upon the guide dog schools to do a little better job advocating. It's their industry. It's our industry. We've got to fix this. And I'm irritated about it. And I know many of you are too. Thank you, Marianne.
And Kevin Worley has spoken. And I am not in disagreement with any of it, frankly. If blind people don't want guide dogs anymore, guide dog schools won't have a job. And I know people who debate the pros and cons before they get a dog. So, but on to the next fun thing, because we have lots of serious business to do in this organization, and we will be doing it.